pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football.
Back, second hour is here, and we are really happy to get going. As we talked to Mekhi Ziegler in the first hour, his team heading to the Sweet 16 against Creighton. And now we talk about the Tide. What a run so far by Nate Oates' team. Lost so many great players and so many coaches, and still back in the Sweet 16, taking on the number one seed, North Carolina. Coach Oates joins us now. Coach, thanks for the time. I know it's really a busy time. Good afternoon, and how do you feel about where everything is right now?
Thanks for having me on, Paul. Yeah, it's busy, but it's good to be on. Thankful to be in the Sweet 16. You don't take those for granted. I think there's only been four of them since 1991 at Alabama, they told me, so we're not going to take them for granted. But, you know, we'd like to go to the Elite Eight and make a Final Four run if possible. So, you know, our guys are locked in. You know, at this time of the year, it's hard to be 100% healthy, but I think we're fairly healthy, and shoot, North Carolina's a good team, but I think we got a decent game plan for them, and we'll I think we're playing our best defense right now, which is where we need to be, and if we get our offense back going, I like our chances.
Coach, I'm curious about one aspect of what you're doing. You start out, I think, in Spokane. Now you're still on the West Coast. How did you handle that from a planning and travel standpoint?
Yeah, as soon as we saw it come out, the bracket, and so they sent us to Spokane. And then, you know, we had a Friday-Sunday deal in Spokane. And then in L.A. it started Thursday. We just decided that we were going to stay out west. So, you know, we got done playing Sunday night. Then Monday afternoon we took a flight straight from Spokane to L.A., got in here last night. We actually took the players to a Clippers game. We kind of took an off day. You know, we didn't do anything basketball-wise yesterday, and now today we're going to get back at it. Showed video, just got out of practice. We're able to practice at USC's gym. And, you know, I didn't want to fly all the way back to Alabama and be there for like one day and then turn around and come back here, so we just stayed out here.
Yeah, no, that's a smart thing to do because that is Spokane to Tuscaloosa, I'm guessing, four, five, 6 hours. That's a lot to deal with. I'm curious going to the Clippers game. What is it like when these guys get face to face on a famous court like that with the best of the best?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, we've taken the guys to an NBA game before, but we actually got decent seats here. It's kind of nice to be in, it's like the Crypto.com Arena, but it used to be Staples. It was, you know, it's been some big time games there, and then. Shoot, it was a good game. Shoot, you know, it's the Clippers against the Pacers, and Pacers look good. Halliburton's good. You know, these guys look up to him, and kind of hearing their comments about which guys actually play hard and which guys don't, and they're disappointed and how hard. I'm like, yeah, you don't want to have the same label as them. Like, but yeah, I mean, it was a good game. The Pacers put up a lot of points, so it was a fun game to be at.
Coach, you have played so many great teams this year, and you're familiar with North Carolina, but this is different now than a game in the regular season, and certainly you played a great non-conference schedule, but how do you attack a game like this? You've been here before a couple of times. You know what it entails, but it is a very big stage.
Yeah, the good thing with us is we played three really good non-conference teams, like back-to-back-to-back, that all had really good post players, and they're all in the Sweet 16. And we also played Clemson, who had P.J. Hall in the conference that we hired to guard. So they've got – Carolina's got Armando Bacot. We've been in these games. Now, we haven't been as successful as, you know, we went 0-4 in those four games. But we've played guys like this. We've been in them. We were up 9 in the second half on Purdue. Got the best big in the country. So it's not like we're going to be intimidated by, you know, a Baycott, you know, and R.J. Davis is good. You know, we played one of the best wings in the country in league and Dalton Connect, and there's other really good players in the SEC. So now we got two of them on the same team. So So we kind of got to put a package together that covers both Baycott and Davis. They've also got Cormac Ryan, who went 7-9 from three against us when he was at Notre Dame. Now he's at North Carolina. You know, they've got, you know, Ingram went 5-6 from three against Michigan State. So Carolina's Carolina. They got five-star players. But, you know, our guys are starting to really get locked into the defensive side of it and guard. I think we can put together a scouting report that they've done. We just got to play hard for 40 minutes, which we did against Grand Canyon. Now, our offense was number one in the country for a majority of the year till Reitzel got hurt. You know, we got to get our offense back to number one in the country to go along with us playing hard on defense.
Coach, as someone who's had a lot of success in your prior stops and at Alabama in this tournament, is there a way to explain to the rest of us how different it is from a coaching preparation before the game and even during in an NCAA tournament? Or is it different?
No, it's definitely different. I think there's a lot of teaching, you know, goes on during the season. Like sometimes, you know, if you're just trying to win that one game, you should call a timeout immediately. Well, sometimes it makes sense to let the players play through some stuff and figure it out on their own and learn and get better. There's no time for that in the NCAA tournament. Like, the other team gets on a run, you got to burn timeout. Like, you gotta get this thing fixed immediately. You know, there's also sometimes you know, really let a guy have it to let him know that it's unacceptable around here in the tournament. I think it's we got to pump these guys full of confidence as much as possible. It's we're past the point of trying to make points, and no, we're all in this. We're pumping our guys full of confidence. We're basically selling them on how we're going to beat the team. You know, we're going to do this, and this, how we're going to beat them. Then when they don't do it in the game, it's I'm not going to lose my mind so much here in the NCAA tournament. We're going to, all right, look, we got to make this adjustment. We got it. So I think it's a little more positive. You know, when you realize you lose and go home, you got to make the adjustments quick on the fly, like right then. There's no, all right, this will be a good learning lesson after the game for the next month. There's no next month. Like, you got to win this one. So it's all and shoot, if you got to play a guy 40 minutes, I mean, we almost had to play Sears and Estrada 40 minutes the other night, then they play 40 minutes because if you lose, you go home. So a lot more of that than there is during the regular season.
Coach, one other thing I'm curious about, and there have been some big calls, and in the SEC, you know the officials. You see them every week or two. You get to know them. Is there a way to deal or prepare or react in real time to good officiating crews? They wouldn't be there if they weren't good, but they may be foreign to what you've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, some of the guys are a little more sensitive. You try to get a little feedback on who you got, you know, and they don't know you as well either. So you just got to be, you know, you got to make your point with them without being too demonstrative, and then you got to adjust. I think, look, none of the refs are bad, like you said, coming in. But the issue is the referees haven't worked together either. They're pulling guys from this league, that league. So you'll get one guy calling it super touchy on one end. And then, you know, if he doesn't get to the other end quickly, you got another guy. I mean, it's like bang-bang calls that aren't being called the same way because, you know, this guy's been super picky all year. And then this other guy's let everything go all year. And neither one of them are bad refs, but no consistency within the crew is a little bit frustrating to the players, to the coaching staff, and that's where you got to kind of, you know, I got banged with a tee last game. that was the issue there. Neither one of them are bad refs, but they're both, you know, it's not consistent within the crew, and I think that's where the issues kind of get a little frustration comes up with.
Final question, too, with Nate Oates, the head coach at of Alabama out in L.A. Coach, I realize when you're coaching a team in the NCAA tournament, you're not spending much time doing anything else, but you are a coach in the SEC, and you can't help but notice what else is going on. And I know how the coaches feel about the league because we were up in Nashville 2 weeks ago, and I think everyone agreed how great this league has been. But when you see some of the bizarre results as we saw last weekend, Thursday, Friday, as the weekend rolled on. I mean, Do you agree that, I mean, there's a narrative out there that maybe this league wasn't as good. How do you respond when you see some really bizarre and freaky upsets?
I mean, our league was good. I mean, we demonstrated it through the course of the year, and in these one-game elimination tournaments, anything can happen. And I didn't see, like you said, I'm prepping for my own game. I didn't see all of our league games, but I saw enough. I mean, you know, Hanlogden breaks his leg and is out for Florida. Well, he was a big part of what Florida was doing. So that didn't help. And they still almost won their game in overtime against a really good team. So, you know, Auburn kid gets thrown out 3 minutes into the game. He was a big part of what they had going. That didn't help them at all. I would have, you know, my guess would be if he wasn't thrown out, that game might have gone a different direction, particularly how close it got at the end. Dude, even the Texas A&M game, I mean, they took Houston to overtime and very easily could still be alive. You know, and it was only us, A&M, and Tennessee that were left, you know, after the first round, which is a little disappointing because I thought some of these teams were a little better. And if things had gone a little differently, I think we would have had some different results. So I don't, you know, we're going to have to shoot. The best way to have four or five teams in the Sweet 16 is to try to get eight again next year, put eight or nine in again. And, you know, hopefully the injuries, we get a little more fortunate with some injuries, but we just got to keep plugging away. I mean, I think SEC basketball is on the rise. We've shown that since I've gotten here. I mean, Kentucky is one of the best programs in the country. They were unfortunate. I mean, you know, shoot, it'd been nice to see them make it. You know, I think there's enough teams that were like one play away. We just got to keep plugging away, and we'll get the most teams in the Sweet 16 here one of these years here pretty quick.
Well, the narrative could change pretty quickly with a win or two by your team in Tennessee. So not to give you that burden, you've got enough going on. But thank you for making time, and we can't wait for Thursday night. And all the very, very best, Coach.
Yeah, hopefully by next week the narrative's fully changed. Hopefully us and Tennessee both knock right off 2 wins, and I'm with you. But appreciate you having me on. I'll jump on whenever you need me to jump on it. It's great listening to your show when I'm not on it. So have a great afternoon. Appreciate it, Paul.
Coach, always great to talk to you and see you. And Nate Oates joining us, a big opportunity for Alabama Thursday night in Los Angeles against North Carolina. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And it is great to have all of you with us. And Willis is up next in Los Angeles, where we just talked to Nate Oates. Hey, Willis.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have to echo Mr. Oates. He pretty much nailed it to a certain extent. The changing of the guard is underway in the SEC basketball. Your guys at Tennessee look good. Alabama ascending. I think the world of Bruce Pearl, a guy with integrity that knows how to coach, he just got picked off. However, Calipari, different story. I've been following him for too long to buy into what, you know, he's a Jimbo Fisher of basketball. When he was at Massachusetts, he left the program in a shambles. When he went to Memphis, same story. In the NBA, he was a sub-400 winning percentage. And at Kentucky, he majors in one and done. And it's a program with really any internal integrity. And sure, they're going to win more than they lose. But that's not the standard of Kentucky. I mean, you're treading on Adolf Rock, John Wooden expectations with a guy who's, you know, can't do it anymore. And, or could he ever do it, but, except when he's cheating. And I'm sorry for being harsh, because the conference in general is really good. I mean, everybody's on the way up. And that's...
Well, the thing about Calipari that really concerns me is what he said yesterday in his first public statement since the game was the same tired, rehashed gibberish that he has offered the last couple of years. And unfortunately for Calipari, he has lost the fan base. He doesn't have them right now. The only thing he has going for him is the fact that he's simply too expensive to fire. And that is a terrible position to be in when you're trying to sustain what and where he is. It is really grim. A year ago, you could kind of hang your hat on the recruiting class, but recruiting classes don't matter anymore. It's pretty obvious that the tournament game has passed him by.
That's right. He doesn't understand the portal correctly.
No, he doesn't understand a lot of things other than the sound of his own voice.
Which he's in love with. Yeah.
That's the problem. John Calipari is the last one to find out that he's no longer anywhere near the top of the heap when it comes to quality coaching. Yeah, I don't dispute that he has a great program there, but you know what? I could run a great program at Kentucky. All you need to do is just show up, turn the lights on, and you're one of the top programs in the country.
I'll tell you one thing about John Wooden. Knowing him in the Westwood, he was never pleased with himself. He was always on it. It was every game he went into, he was fighting for his life. And although he had great teams, he took nothing for granted.
Well, the thing that made John Wooden so great is, other than the fact that he was the best coach, he also had the highest character, and he preached that. And
yes,
that is where a lot of folks drop off after John Wooden. Thank you so much, Will. It's really good to hear from you on a very big topic right now in college basketball. Let's check in with Albert in South Carolina. Hello, Albert.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
We're doing great.
I was calling all the Alabama fans. When I was about 12 years old, was when Elvis died, and professional golfer that taught me how to play golf was coming out of the clubhouse, and I said, "Elvis died, Elvis died." And he said, "Albert," he said, "the sun's going to come up again tomorrow." So all the Alabama fans that are crying over Nick Saban, you know, the sun did come up the next day. And I love listening to Cat Daddy. I'm a Clemson fan, but I do love listening to Cat Daddy.
Well, thank you. Yeah, by the way, I think the sun's come up a number of times since Nick Saban. But Nick Saban, we still apparently have an appetite for how often he goes to the grocery store. Let's check in with Felix up next. Hello, Felix. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I was going to do one thing real quick, and I was just going to give a shout out to I-Man and say we're gonna, because they're we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, and all that.
I like that.
But the biggest thing that I was calling about, and I was going to call about something else, and then that caller you had a minute ago that was talking about Calipari and Bruce Pearl and all that. Didn't Bruce Pearl get a no-show cause for about 3 years or something
Bruce
like that?
Yeah, Bruce Pearl was literally run out of the game for 3 years. He couldn't coach. He was under investigation again at Auburn, as you probably remember, for a pretty serious thing. He was able to skate that. But, I think Bruce, trying to use Bruce Pearl as the Joan of Arc of college basketball might be an overstatement.
Yeah, that is kind of comical. The reason I was calling in is on some of the coaching hires in basketball and whatnot, and I'm going to stick in the SEC. And what did you think about the coaching hire for Vanderbilt, the guy from James Madison? Is that a good hire? Would that get him up to the
James Madison had a fabulous team this year. All you can say about that hire is it's an improvement over what they had. Will it move the needle? Completely unknown. Hey, thank you for the call. We are back. More to come. Been a busy show already. We're 90 minutes in. We talked to Zakai Ziegler and Nate Oates. Pretty good dose of college basketball this Thursday and Friday. We're back after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
My man is up next.
Live from the capital city, cradle of Confederacy, Paul Feinbaum. How are you doing today? Don't tell me how you do it, because I really don't care. Unlike all your other people, I just want you to be so nice. I want you to be fresh. I want you to feel so good. You know, you had a day off. I know you needed a day off after all these callers. I mean, you take it every day. How do you do it, Paul? I take a lot of drugs, Paul. You know, Paul, I don't care where you were yesterday, but I know somewhere there's a Little Debbie and a kale sandwich involved in the conversation you probably having with the little feller, but who cares? I was at a customer's house there. I'm going to give him a shout-out. He's a wounded war vet named Tim Wilson, and we went and checked his air conditioner and everything and looking and walked through there, and there was a Paul Feinbaum show on. Me and him got to talking, and we realized who each other was, and it was a rather joyful experience. Although he was a Bammer, but I knew that when you walked into the front yard and you had to rub the red elephant in order to gain entrance to the house. I mean, you know, the elephant head, that is. But, Paul, would you say, I know you've been coming down on me pretty hard here lately. Are my calls a bit more aggressive than they've ever been?
I didn't know I was allowed to talk. Are we allowed to talk now, Randy?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm having a conversation. You gonna talk with me? I know you say that I may have slipped over. I got Sabinitis and all that kind of stuff. You're not a doctor. You're a talk show host, and you're really not a. You're a newspaper guy that does a talk show. But anyhow, you say my calls have got a little aggressive, maybe a little pointed, and a little bit directed at a guy. But you know, Nick Saban did the same thing when he browbeat all those reporters, and then you come on, he's just talking to his team. That's Nick being Nick. He's just talking to his team. He's sending the message. Well, Paul Feinbaum, guess what? That's what I'm doing. I'm talking to my team, and I'm sending my message. So my calls aren't aggressive. They're just everyday calls just like poor little feller. And you have a good day, War Damn Eagle.
Ray is up next. Hey, Ray.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you for asking.
I just want to talk about a little bit about John Calipari down here in Kentucky. You know, us Wildcat fans, we're getting pretty fed up with it. You know, we're getting beat out in the first round, setting records, getting beat three games in a row at home, paying big money for them ticket seats, you know, going to SEC tournament, paying big money to get in there, and we're just not getting what we're paying for.
No, I agree with you, and I think the school is really at an inflection point where they have a coach who has paid a king's ransom that the fans have, you tell me, you're a fan, have pretty much moved on from.
Yeah, you know, my nickname's Wildcat Ray. I went down there and to the Big Blue Madness camp out. I went for 12 years straight, you know, down there supporting the team, supporting Cal. But, you know, the Carl Towns team and the Devin Booker, you know, to get beat by a Wisconsin team, when I paid $1,400 to get into that game, you know, really upset me. You know, I just see that they're not putting on the court what we're wanting. You know, the fans down here are just really upset, and where we had enough of Cal. We hear the same thing year after year after year. You know, how many more chances do you get? You know, we messed up and gave him a lifetime contract. Nobody understands why.
Well, he's like a rock star or a country singer who can't sell any records. He keeps putting out the same record. And what Cal said yesterday to me sounded like a broken record. Nobody's buying it.
No, we've heard it over and over. And, you know, I had like, I don't know, 10 or 12 basketballs signed by him and the team. And he told me one day, he said, you keep getting these basketballs signed, one day they ain't going to be worth nothing. I understand what he meant that day.
Yeah, no. that's pretty prophetic by Cal there. But, after St. Peter's 3 years ago or 2 years ago, I felt like he had lost a lot. And then last year, same thing. And then this year, same thing. The season was on the brink. Here comes the Cats. And then here comes the disaster in March. And I don't know if you can come back from that, because what are you going to say about next year?
Yeah, well, he's like you said earlier, he's got no support. I mean, it's all we're talking about down here in Kentucky. I don't care if you go in the grocery store, you go in Walmart, you go to work. It's all everybody's talking about. And, you know, we don't even go anywhere during the Thanksgiving, during Feast Week. You know, I'm tired of that. We don't play in Atlantis. We don't play in Maui. We sit home every weekend and play a bunch of no-name teams because he says he ain't going to go get four or five losses. He's the one recruiting them players. He's the one bringing them young players in. And then he acts like it's their fault. He never takes no blame for no losses. I mean, we lost to Evansville and Walter McCarty at home. We lost to UCN Wellington at home. I mean, we're paying big money for these tickets, and we're losing to teams like that at home.
Well, and I don't want to take away from what Calipari has done. He has made a significant contribution, but he's also being paid for that. And right now, all that matters is what he does in March, and that's abysmal. And I think you make a really good point, Ray. I feel your pain. And that's where Cal has lost people. The people may look at the SEC tournament and go, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter, because Kentucky fans who maybe can't afford the expensive seats at Rupp Arena work hard to get tickets to the SEC tournament because they're more easily available. And now for the second or third year in a row, they go up there and they're gone. I mean, that is a big week for Big Blue Nation. And then, you know, I mean, the record, I'm not going to waste any more time on the record, but I don't think anybody can miss the problem, the conundrum that Kentucky has right now with the coach. Let's move along and talk to John in Tennessee. Hello, John.
Hello, Mr. Farmall.
Hey there.
Hey, I got a quick question. First, Calipari, I was in Memphis when he left for the Kentucky job. I think the reporters waited 2.5-3 hours outside of his house.
Right.
Before he finally showed up. So to all you Kentucky people, you got what you got, because he was horrible in Memphis and he's horrible in Kentucky. Anyways, so my question is about when I saw Saban sitting in front of Congress, are there any other coaches standing before Congress or sitting before Congress talking about the NFL? Or is it just football in Alabama?
No, there have been others. And by the way, remember, it was Ted Cruz who invited him. It wasn't Tommy Tuberville. So,
yes, sir.
I mean, Saban was there because he has a distinct perspective as the GOAT and as somebody who recently retired. There were athletic directors there, but a year ago, almost every coach in the SEC, I think every coach did go to Washington and met with various congressmen. Congress knows how college sports feels. They don't need another trip to Washington to lobby them. They are well aware. The problem is that they're not doing anything about it.
No, sir. And you hear a lot about it during the season now with basketball. And, you know, they were saying that the women have to stay, 3 or 4 years in college
right.
before they can go to the WNBA, where the guys are one and done. You know, that I think the one and done and the NIL go hand in hand, and really – That's what you have to change, in just my opinion.
No, John, I think you're right, and I really appreciate it. But I think it's also worth remembering that most of the members of Congress, whether in the House or the Senate, most of the time that they invite coaches like Nick Saban up there aren't to change the world or to help college athletics. It's to get their picture taken with the coach and to get publicity. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Second hour underway. We've talked to Nate Oates and Kai Ziegler, and we check in with Kevin right now from Georgia. Hello, Kevin.
Talk to him, Kevin.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon.
My name is Kevin. Kevin Whitfield.
Sure, great to hear from you.
Yes, Paul, Kevin is severely handicapped and Down syndrome with a speech deficiency, but he did want to ask you, is there going to be a new quarterback this year, or do we still have the same one, and how do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, Kevin, first of all, thank you very much for making the effort, and we will always enjoy talking to you whenever you can give us a ring. Georgia is in very good shape at quarterback. Same guy as last year, and there is not going to be any issues there. Georgia probably, with Carson Beck, is in as good a shape as anybody in the country.
Okay. Well, now, Kevin, do you want to just talk to Paul and thank him for having a talk show?
Yes.
Kevin is so happy that you are having a free speech talk show. And he listens to it every day, and even though the comprehension is low, we'll catch him up on everything that you're saying. But he just wanted to call and thank you for having a talk show where you let any American, you know, just call in and ask you a question. And he was thanking you for that.
Well, let me say this to you, Kevin, before you go. You are most welcome, and I certainly hope that you will continue to call us and watch and listen, and you be well. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, to talk to him, honey.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin. You be well. Have a great day, and thanks for calling. You take care of yourself. Johnny B. is up next.
I love that, Paul. Hey, Kevin in Georgia. Keep it up, brother. Call anytime and keep listening. maybe an idiot like me won't run you off, but, you know, sometimes things happen. But I'm glad he enjoys the show.
Johnny B., I was really inspired by Kevin. In Kevin, we heard a young man who is trying diligently to overcome some obstacles that were not his doing, but is doing a good job and actually enjoying what we do here afternoon. And you juxtapose that with the bitterness and the derisiveness of I-Man's call, who was once a great Hall of Fame caller, and I don't know what's happened to him. Do you?
I don't either. My mom challenged people, and that's got a good place in my heart right there when I hear the people call in like that. But anyway, I don't know. I-Man is bitter. I mean, if you look at what happened to his team in the playoffs there, that's pretty disappointing, you know, to go in and get beat by
Yale. You know what I think it was? I don't think it was the fact that Auburn lost. I think it's Auburn lost to an Ivy League school. I just don't think I-Man being the guy he is, the populist, can handle losing to Yale.
That, and, you know, I'm kind of drawing a parallel between what's going on at Kentucky and what was happening at Alabama.
Really? What's the comparison?
Well, you know, you said just a few minutes ago that in reference to Calipari that recruiting didn't matter. And I kind of agree because, you know, Kentucky always had top-notch recruits. Alabama was always their number one. But I think they got that same feeling like when Alabama ran the ball, a quarterback sneak, and the center gets blown off the ball and your quarterback has no chance. And all that talent went down the drain. I think Burns saw that before anybody else. And we are seeing it with Kentucky, how if you drag it out, how miserable it becomes. So people need to look forward and thank Greg Burns for making that hard choice and parting ways with Saban like he did before everything got bad. I know there
Hey Johnny B, I don't mean to go hyperbolic here, but did you just say what I think you said?
Which part?
Did you not just say that Greg Byrne ran Nick Saban off?
Well, we've already discussed, you know, how Eli got presented with that deal, and he told him where he could shove it. And it's obvious that everybody, you've had two coaches call in, and everybody saying they were talking to him right up to the time, and everything seemed fine. And then all of a sudden, boom, I mean, is it just coincidence that, you know, Eli gets the deal. He didn't like it, but Saban,
hey, Johnny,
you know, they
B, hold,
him.
Hold your horses there, cowboy. Eli Gold was deathly ill and missed a year. I don't remember Nick Saban missing a game. I mean, Nick Saban,
he wasn't in those games, running around clapping and people messing up and not being, you know, you don't put up with 30-something bad snaps. You don't get to where you're so, you know, all you can do is throw a bomb or let the quarterback run. You got to have more creativity. If you're going to put that much talent and attract wide receivers and people that want to ball, they don't want to have to run a 50-yard sprint every time hoping to get a pass. I mean, he was slipping, Paul.
I don't want to be that guy, but Nick Saban's last 4 years at Alabama ended the following way. He finished first, second, fifth, and fourth. That's hardly being run off.
From 2017, he had one asterisk champion during the COVID year.
Right, okay.
And, you know, then
Listen, Johnny B, there's going to be a great debate forever about that final national championship of Nick Saban, whether it's really held in the same regard as all the others. But he still claimed it, okay?
You know, Griff was in on it. He saw the decline, and he was saying it on there, and people didn't like him saying it. People don't like me saying it, but I'm still an Alabama fan. I just saw that it was time to move on. You look at Bobby Bowden and places where they've let a coach linger, it never ends good. This way he can eventually, they'll have some kind of a party. I'm sure part of his parting deal will be some kind of a big party. You know, they may not. He may not like that. But, you know, it just seems to me that we could be in the Kentucky shoes had Byrne not made the decision and went ahead and moved on to a younger coach that can take 2 and 3 stars and win a championship or, you know, at least second place.
Okay, Johnny, I am out of outrage, okay? I mean, I don't know if it's just...
Hey, Paul, don't forget to have the callers. I'm on a write-in campaign since I'm not in the bracket, so if they want to vote me in, I hope you recognize the 5 or 6 votes.
Yeah, Johnny, I recognize you as being certifiable, but I don't think you're going to win the bracket. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.